Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Very fortunate. I got Gino in the house today, literally in my home. We're making it happen. Talking about wealth building, talking about the difference between fortunes over time, and we have some great examples today. We're talking the Rockefellers versus the Vanderbilts. Now, one family carried generational wealth through the decades, and one family did not do so well. And the G-Dad is here to break it down for us today. So welcome, G-Dad.
Thanks, Jake. There's a lot of things I want to say before we start talking about the family, the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts. The first thing is you may be saying to yourself, this is not appropriate to me. I don't have a fortune. Well, I didn't have a lot of money 10
not
years
yet.
Ago either. That's the point. Not yet. So if you're hearing this and you're saying to yourself, I'm barely making ends meet, that's okay. I was there several years ago saying, this is not appropriate to me, but you always have to think with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. If you're really a financial steward and you really are all about the rules of money and about entrepreneurship and about growing your wealth, this is going to be very important for you because this puts you in the right mindset. I just came back from Italy a few weeks ago. And although I don't want to say the word despise their system of economics, because now they're going into, you know, utility. They're not able to pay for their gas. People have terrible jobs. But they did one thing right hundreds and hundreds of years ago. A lot of those families were the Rockefellers. I'll give you a perfect example, Jake. My mom's town in the early 1400s, her city's called L'Aquila. They built 99 churches, 99 squares or piazzas, and 99 fountains. Now, why did they do that? The wealthy families wanted to continue their legacy on. So the first thing they did was build a church. Then they started building homes and piazzas and squares around the church. Those families are still here today, continuing to pass on their wealth. So in Europe, if you come from money, you're a lucky person.
You got to lock it in.
If you don't, like my mom and my dad, you either leave or you just say to yourself, make a couple grand a month, and I'm going to live a great life that way. In the United States, it's a little different. I don't know if you've heard the term shirt sleeve to shirt sleeve in three generations. Jake and Gino make a ton of money. We give it all to our kids. By the third generation, our kids are partied. That money is gone.
Gucci belts and Prada. Bye-bye.
And you think $100 million is a lot of money, let's say, or $200 million. Yeah. I've got six kids. Split that up into six kids. And then those kids have kids. That money goes real quick. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, you're saying to yourself, I need to think long-term. And there's going to be different iterations. The first iteration that I had is I needed to create a will. I needed to have an idea of what I wanted to do with those meager assets that I had in the beginning. I did have assets. I had a car, I had a house, I had my business, and I had the kids, and I had some whole life insurance. So where does that go? So start out with creating the will. Then from there, as you start accumulating assets, start thinking about what you want to do. Maybe you don't want to create and promote your financial legacy. That's cool. Just know that you can, and that it's so powerful, and you can direct your assets from the grave to be able to dictate what you want your legacy to be. I want my legacy to be part of Jake and Gino to continue to write these books. So 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now, my grandchildren and great-grandchildren are reading these kids' books, and they're like, that's Grandpa Gino. I want my kids to say, and my grandkids to say, I'm going to college because college is paid for. Grandpa Gino helped me pay for my house. I pulled the money out of the down payment out of the trust, and I bought a house. Or he helped me buy a car. That's what I want my legacy to be. So think about, as we're talking about these two families, what do you want your legacy to be? Now, Jake talked about the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers. Vanderbilts, I mean, he was worth hundreds of billions of dollars at the time. He made his money from transportation. He had 10 mansions in New York City alone. Not one.
I got married at one of them.
I cooked at his mansion outside. It was unbelievable. Stroudsburg, right?
It was in just north of Poughkeepsie. It was Hyde Park, I believe.
Yeah, it was amazing. And if you think about it, he went from shipping to trains. He passed 95% of his wealth to his family, and his son doubled the fortune. So his son did really good. But that's the last time it grew. And 1920s stopped growing, and now you've got the gentleman on CNN. What's his name?
Anderson Cooper.
Right, yeah. He's the last one. He couldn't even get a job. He needed to get credentials because they didn't know who he was. So is that the kind of legacy that I want to leave for my family? I don't really think so. That's not where I'm shooting for. Because you create trust fund babies. You create people who are entitled. You create people that you're seeing on the internet right now and on the news right now that have no clue what's going on. They're trying to create laws, but they have no substantive, they have no true value in life. They have no life skills because they've just been given money. They haven't been able to work for it.
They're lacking the legacy skills. And that's the interesting thing about what we're talking about today. Yes, we are talking about the difference financially, one family to the other, but what you can do in terms of skills to create, to carry that on as well. And I think it all starts up front with financial education. That's one of the biggest components. And I think the difference in terms of why the Rockefellers lasted and the Vanderbilts did not.
As Mr. Alex Hormozi says, invest in the SME 500, not the S&P 500. I love that. I'm going to use that quote forever because I think it's just so awesome. Now, Rockefeller, I'm going to tell you a little quick story about Rockefeller. Oil and kerosene. How many of you out there have heard of Henry Flagler and Flagler College down in St. Augustine, Florida? Well, Flagler was the integrator. Rockefeller was the visionary. They were partners. They created that whole little town. It was all about shipping, and it was all about trains going down there, and they created this oasis down in St. Augustine, Florida. That's the remnants of Rockefeller and Flagler. Flagler was really the integrator, getting the business going on. Rockefeller was so wealthy, it was beyond ridiculous. He was out there, and all that kerosene and all the oil, he was promoting, I don't know how much percent of the economy he was doing at the time, but I'm looking at my notes over here. He was worth over $250 billion when he died. And you're talking about a guy who gave away a ton of money. Now, this is where
that's back then.
That's
big money. Like if you translate that today, like he probably smokes Bezos.
Much wealthier than them. Yeah. That's where the birth of the family office came. I think all of a sudden he's got all this wealth concentrated. I think he has the foresight to say, if I give this to my family, they're going to party and it's going to be gone. Today, they're still on the Forbes top 400 wealthiest families. Because they've continued. And you hear about all of the different relatives. You've got governors. You've got vice presidents. I mean, you've got a lot of people that came from that family.
A lot of influence, right?
That have actually created and continued that legacy on. The big difference, one family decided to part with the money and just separate it away. And one family decided to keep it in-house and really keep it central and keep it controlled and be able to have a legacy with it. So as me and Jake are talking about it, I think... As you're hearing these two stories, what do you want your legacy to be? I mean, I'm going to share mine first, and I want Jake to jump in and maybe share his. And as we're talking about ours, think about what you want yours to be. 10 years ago, like I said, I didn't have a thought about this. I wasn't sure. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my money. I just said, you know what? If I make a few bucks, I'm just going to give it away to my kids. But as I started to invest in real estate, and as I started to invest in myself, and as I started to grow myself and to grow my knowledge and to grow my net worth, I said, wouldn't it be cool if we start Jake and Gino and I can start teaching other people in financial education? If we start writing books, if we start doing podcasts, that could be part of my legacy as well. And then as we started accumulating these assets, all of a sudden, I don't want to leave these assets to my children and have to pay a huge tax once I give them to my kids. And they have to sell a couple of these assets, possibly just to pay the tax.
You build it all up to essentially be rated.
Yeah. And so what I said to myself, I'm not going to complain about the system. That's what old Gino used to do. New Gino's like, well, what are other people doing? Because I'm not here yet, but I want to get to where they are.
How do I play within the game?
Yes, right? Exactly. And there's no loopholes out there, everybody. Yeah. There's no loopholes. There's tax law. Read the tax law. If you don't know it, like I don't, go out there, find attorneys. And we have
hire professionals.
Yes, we have a great podcast on the 100-year on estate planning. I mean, it was a great podcast that we did. Think about what the estate planning looks like because it's called planning. It doesn't happen all at once. It's years and years of planning. And as you get smarter and as you get better at the game of money and as you accumulate more assets, you're going to need more help. And it's great. My mom always told me you can have money with problems or you can have no problems and no money and a lot of problems. You can choose. I'd rather have a lot of money. With that lot of money comes a lot of problems. So for me, as I'm going through this, I'm like, I want to continue to create the legacy. I want to continue to be able to give it away. I want to be able to control it. And I'm actually going to create the financial board. I'm going to have a trustee. I'm thinking of having my son, once I'm gone, have him be the trustee of the whole estate and have him be able to dish away whatever money needs to go and be fair with his siblings. But I want that money to continue on. I want them all to get whole life insurance. I want them to have that death benefit so it continues to seed the trust. So as one passes away, that death benefit goes back into the trust and continues to feed that trust.
What Gino's saying is you got to continue to contribute to the estate, to the trust. Mm-hmm. When you get your piece, you need to replenish and put it back in. And that's the beauty that the Rockefellers did with the whole life insurance. You want to access this, You're replenishing it with whole life and your death benefit. And that's how this thing carried on. It's amazing. Very, very intelligent.
And that's what I've done. I've got whole life insurance on myself. I got a nice death benefit. When I pass away, it'll go into the trust. Same thing with my wife. When she passes away, it'll seed the trust. That's another $7, $8, $10 million there that'll continue. If you put it into something generating 4 or 5%, that's a nice nut every single year that you can just take out just the interest and leave the principal there and maybe leave some principal to continue to grow it. So it's all up to you. Think about what you want to do with yours. Why don't you share?
Yeah, no, I want to break this down for everybody because it's really cool if you set this up right, and it's an evolution over time. It doesn't happen right away. Mm-hmm. So essentially what we're doing, we have a bunch of kids, each one of us. Those kids can access the trust over time at certain ages, and if they're doing the right things with their lives, it's not just going to come to them easy, okay? There's certain things that they have to be doing to qualify, okay? To access the money, they need to replenish it, meaning they need to buy whole life insurance. The death benefit is owed to the trust. So that continues growing the trust over time, but it's more than that. We're making sure that we're putting our money into assets that are basic human needs. Gino and I love multifamily housing. People need housing. It's a basic human need. We call it food, clothing, and apartments. I told him yesterday, and I've told him a million times, if we ever get into another investment together, it's going to be water, okay? I don't want something that is trendy. I can't keep up with the stock market, with these companies, what's going to move, what's not. I can't keep up with tech, okay? I am a savvy multifamily investor. I understand that space. I don't know what Google is going to do next, and I can't predict how long they're going to be there for. I can't predict how long Amazon is going to be there. Look, no one thought Sears was going to go out. After 90 years, now Amazon replaces them. I don't know what's going to replace Amazon, but I do believe that people will need housing, okay, long term. So we look for quality assets that we can put our resources into. We want the generations to continue to hold those assets, grow them hopefully, and also replenish with whole life insurance. That's the plan to keep the snowball growing over time. And, you know, maybe it's a strategy. You have enough kids, so hopefully a few of them can carry out a good financial legacy and help, you know, the trust and support the other ones. So I think there's a lot going on there, but that's the basics. That's the basic foundations to grow this over time.
And Jake, you said the whole life. If a child gets a whole life policy, all of my kids have whole life policies, there's a cash value in that whole life policy. Mm-hmm. They can borrow the cash value from the whole life policy. They can pay it back, or it's there as a loan. Once they pass away, it'll true up and it'll get paid off by the death benefit. So it's a really great strategy. But as our partner Rick Sapio says, it's all about cathedral thinking. I don't know if you've ever heard the term before. When I came back from Europe, all those churches, they weren't built in a day or a year. Some of them took hundreds of years to build, hence cathedral thinking, long-term thinking.
And they're
thinking.
Still there. It's
and
beautiful.
And they're still there. Yeah. I walk through the Colosseum. I just, every time I go there, I went in there, I'm amazed. The lady shows me the pillar there. It's got a hole in it. That's where they used to tie their animals during the Middle Ages because
it's cool.
Been sitting there. It's been there since for 2,000 years. You can actually see the elevators in the bottom and the pulley system they had below the Colosseum. This thing is 2,000 years old and it's still sitting there. Talk about building something that lasts time. That's what I want you to think about your legacy. How long can you perpetuate it, and how you can actually affect the generations to come? Because it really isn't all about money. We can't take money with us, obviously. We wanted to use it as a tool.
It gives you great options, and it can lead to, you know, more things that you're able to do in your life for yourself and for your family. And guys, I don't want to, you know, sound crazy, but the clock's ticking. Everyone says, you know, the best time to buy real estate was always 5 years ago. Well, it's the same thing with these whole life. If you're investing in whole life and your kids, it's going to be cheaper now than it's going to be tomorrow, right? So it's like you want to get started with this stuff. It's action is going to lead to results over time. Okay. Mm-hmm. We always say education times action equals results. Look, if you would have bought multifamily 5 years ago, oh my God, you're like this genius or whatever. Guys, it's the same thing. They're going to continue printing money. The dollar is going to continue to devalue over time. So you kind of want to put your stamp in there. You want to put your mark in. It's the same thing with whole life. You want to get it on early because the rates are going to be lower for you. So it's very important to get started.
I want to wrap this up real quick by saying what kills wealth transfer. I've got three things down here that kills the transfer of wealth. The first one is the division of assets. Once you start dividing the assets amongst the heirs, like the Vanderbilts did, it's game over.
Squandered.
And that really, really, really hurt that family by actually perpetuating it. The Rockefellers, they kept it in-house. They created that family office. The second one is the transfer in the capital gains taxes. I mean, the government's smart. They know what they're doing. You're paying taxes while you're alive, and you're going to pay taxes when you're dead or when you're transferring. That's a huge, huge tax bill. And the third one, business risks, and market changes. All of a sudden, you have a couple of Vanderbilts 60, 70 years removed from the grandfather. They think they're going to go into business. It's easy money. It's not their money. They don't know what's going on in business, so they take risks, unnecessary risks. But the Rockefeller family, they may not want it. They may be philanthropists. They may say, hey, you know what? Go off and do your own thing. I'm going to go work for an S&P 500 company. But the family office is the one who's controlling the money and who's actually investing the money and putting the money in muni bonds or putting the money in whole life or putting the money in real estate or stocks, not the family members who have no idea anything about business. If they do, great. One of the things that I want to do with my trust is I want to write down several books that I want all of the kids who are going to be part of this trust, they need to read. Richest Man in Babylon. I want them to read Stephen Covey's book, The Seven Habits.
Wheelbarrow Profits.
I want all of our books to be read. But I think, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad is another book that I want them to read. I want them to be able to read that before they start accessing money so they have an idea. And I'm not talking about when they're 10 or 12 years old, but when they become adults, when they become teenagers and adults, I want them to start understanding what Grandpa Gino set up here. And I want them to say, wow, this game of money, we're probably not going to be taught this in school even 20 years.
Probably in your home school.
Yes, but I'm talking like, well, you never know. That's the problem, everybody. You may have the most amazing kids, and Jake and I am here this weekend. I love his kids. His kids are unbelievable. His daughter, she's amazing. But let's say his daughter marries somebody who's just looking for the money, right? And all of a sudden takes her down that path. I've got five daughters. They'll take him out. But that's part of the problem. That's part of why I want to protect my money, because I don't want one of these people coming in saying, I've got a trust fund baby here. I want them to be able to have a great relationship, have a great life, have some of the, you know, harder bills paid for. Maybe if you want to, you know, for a car or for your kids' college, but I want them to work for it. I want them to enjoy their life and create their own lives. So this is one of the reasons why I've been really thinking about this really heavily.
That's why there's inflection points, and it doesn't come till later in life too. I think that's the important thing when you're setting these up. So, you know, this has been great, man. I really appreciate your time with us today.
I do too. It's been a great show for me, because as I'm thinking about this, I'm planning the next steps, because I'm putting the final touches on what I'm creating right now. And it's honestly, everybody, I'm not going to say it's easy. It's been an 8-month
evolution
process. And it's like, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Sometimes I got rocks in my head, but if you really sit down and you consult with other people, I had the ability back in July. I'm sitting next to a gentleman named Stephen Metter. He is a billionaire in Hawaii. And this is where I really got inspired, because he's got three children and the same thing. What does he do with his kids? He said, I basically told my daughter, I bought her a house and I am going to pay for her kids' college. I'm like, that is so cool. He goes, the rest of it, they can figure it out. They're going to have a great life together. And that inspired me, because I was always wondering to myself, why are these multimillionaires and billionaires not leaving money to their children? And now I get it. It's because they want them to have an empowering life and not just sit around and not do anything. And
you got to struggle.
Yes. You have to enjoy the suck, as we like to say. So
if you don't enjoy the suck, there's no growth, right? It's stagnation is not good.
Jake, where can people find out more about the 100 year, about a whole life?
Yeah, 100year100rei.com. And look, you could speak to our team members about this. You can hit up the GDAD, Gino at jakeandgino.com. He'll drop some knowledge on you. And honestly, guys, it's an evolution over time. That's the thing. It doesn't all happen at once, but you got to start today. That's the most important thing. So
life insurance is the key to maintaining the trust and perpetuating the estate, everybody.
Yep. 100%.
Thanks, Joseph.
Thanks, Gino. Take care, guys.